Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Hello, beautiful Sunday morning to you. This is Reverend Tommy Bounce. It is good to come in your homes again today with a beautiful message of something to believe in. I'd rather believe in something than not to believe in nothing. So I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm here to represent Him this morning. I'm hoping that you're going to join right in with me and worship the Lord. That's what we're on here for every Sunday morning. We come in your homes at 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, and that's what we want to do, is magnify and worship the Lord. So let's get right into our broadcast this morning by doing this beautiful little chorus of a song right here for you. He touched me.
Shackled by the heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me.
He touched me.
And all the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened, and now I know He touched me, and He made me whole. You know, since I met this blessed Savior, and since He touched my life and cleansed me, made me whole, my soul reaches out and never ceases just to praise His holy name. And I'm going to shout it, going to tell the world while eternity rolls. For He touched me. Oh, He touched me.
He touched me.
And all the joy that flooded my soul. For something wonderful happened, and now I know He touched me, and He made me.
Yes, sir. When He touches you, He can make you whole. Thank God for that. I thank God for Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can set you free from your sin. And He is a sin forgiver. He will forgive you of your sin. I remember on the sidewalks of Warren, Virginia, many years ago, I've been preaching a lot of years. Another birthday coming this week. And Martha has been gone a year. Can you imagine that? And we're going to celebrate her birthday also, being with the Lord. But anyhow, I was on the sidewalks of Warren, Virginia. I had been in church for so many years, but I didn't know how to be saved, and I was just startled at when God spoke to my heart and told me, I want to save you. And I didn't know what to say. And I said, well, the only scripture come to my mind was if I would confess my sin, he would be faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's been true down through the many years that I've been preaching the gospel. And I've been preaching the gospel for over 50 years. I figured up the other day around 56 years, I think, I've been in the ministry. And I haven't regretted one mile I've taken for the Lord. I miss Martha. I miss her work and working with me. But thank God she's in a better place today.
Oh, I must be close to that heavenly shore, and the sounds that I hear coming from heaven's door. 'Cause lately I hear a sweet melody, and it sure sounds like angels to me. Our Lord will return. This could be the hour when I join my voice with that heavenly choir. And on Zion's hills we'll be singing so sweet. And it sure sounds like angels to me.
And it sure sounds like angels to me.
I know that Martha is singing with the angels in heaven today. She's in heaven's choir. I miss her awfully much. I know that you do, and I love playing her music. I can sit here, and when I'm playing her music, I can just remember when we did that song together, and I can remember all those songs, and that brings back a lot of memories to me, and I have really enjoyed been able to play her music for you. So let's go right back now. I want to do another song for you. And this one said, there's a miracle on the other side of the mountain.
With little understanding, not a word to speak, Father led his favorite son toward a mountain peak. Each step would bring them near the place where the sacrifice would burn. Just before the lad would die, Father Abraham will learn. There's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith. Where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. For no apparent reason, a lamb begins to climb along a rocky mountainside, some greener grass to find. How could he know that he'd become the answer on its way? Isaac would not have to die, he would live to say, there's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith. Where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. Walk on a little farther, no matter how you feel, you'll never know what's lying up ahead. Oh, there's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith. Where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. Where hope unites with promise and mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today.
It's only God can work miracles, but God is a supernatural miracle working God. And I'm glad that I can report to you that God will do a miracle for you. If you need a miracle, God will give it to you, but only God can work miracles. I know a lot of people say, boy, that took a miracle to do that. Well, He is a miracle working God, and you can believe that. He said, they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder to them that will diligently seek Him. So when you seek in His face for a miracle, then trust Him, because He can work a miracle in your life.
A boy grew up in Nazareth, known throughout the land. Well, he had a way of doing things crafted with his hand. Folks came from near and far, heard his work was good. One day he would be known as the master of the wood. By the time that he was 30, doing everything he done, everyone who knew him was the Father's Son. He carved his way through all mankind every way he could. Soon he would be known as the master of the wood. They said his name was Jesus, a man from Galilee. They said he was the carpenter, but he's more than that to me. But he's a picture of forgiveness, painted with his blood, dying for my salvation, the master of the world.
Second Kings, I'm going to begin to read in the very first verse. I'll only read three verses of Scripture this morning. Many years that I've preached on this, but this past week, it just something brand new jumped out on me. And if you're in Wednesday night Bible studies with me and Randy and all of us as we gather on Wednesday night, you'll find that I'm a word person. Every word is very valuable. Did you not know that with God, every letter was valuable? God said, don't undot one I, don't uncross one T. You know what he was saying to me? Every letter is important to me. And every word is important to me. I recommend that you get a Greek translation and a Hebrew translation, and when you're reading Scripture, be a word studier. Because words is tells what the writer is trying to say. You take a whole lot of words and makes one sentence. But the one sentence is what's going to tell you about the story that God wants to relate to us. I mean, why did God write the Old Testament and the New Testament to begin with? I mean, we're not living back then. We're living right now. And yet preachers on Sunday morning will reach way back, maybe 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, or even farther back than that, and bring out a story and relate it to your life. But that's the way God wanted it to be. But this morning we want to look at the story of Naaman. And in the story of Naaman, here's the way the story began. In chapter 5 of 2 Kings, verse 1. Now Naaman was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and an honorable man. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But here we're talking about a great man. We're talking about Naaman, the field marshal of Syria, a man whose name alone was a great threat. I mean, when people heard the name Naaman, they shook, almost like Saddam Hussein, or even like Hitler. The Bible said he was the captain of a host of the armies of Syria, an important man, a man to be feared. The Bible goes on to say, and the Syrians had gone out in captivity and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, I would that God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Our Father, your word to your people, honor in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice the picture here. God is laying before us a great man. A great man. His greatness had reached clear across the land of Samaria. In the northern kingdom, there was a prophet called Elisha. In the southern kingdom, who was the Judaizers. But Naaman's name was one of the greatest names of the land. But the Bible said, and it lays it out very plain, that he was a mighty man. He was a man of valor. He was a man of honor. He was a man of power and authority. And then all of a sudden, after God laying out this man's greatness and all that he was, all of a sudden he says, but he was a leper. Well, now we've got to examine in the Bible what leprosy is all about. You see, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. And I've got to examine what leprosy is before I can really see the complete picture of Naaman's life. Even though he's a great man, an honorable man, a mighty man, why would all of a sudden God said he's all of these things, but he's a leper? Well, if leprosy is a type of sin to you and I, then we've got to look at it like that. Naaman might have been great in power, great in authority, honorable in every way, but if he had leprosy, he was no more than a sinner that needed God's grace. That's why the Bible said, but he was a leper. Now, there's a great story here that goes a little bit farther than that. In the days of Naaman, if you thought you had leprosy, in Leviticus 13 you'll find the story, you would go down to the doctor's office or the priest's office. He would look at you and he would examine you and he would say, well, that looks like leprosy, but I'm not sure. I want you to go home and 7 days more, I want you to come back. And 7 days later, you went back to that same priest. And that priest would look at you and he'd say, yes, you have leprosy. And when he said you had leprosy, then you had to go to a leper colony. And that was where all the other lepers went. And you were classified as the unclean in the country, because the priest had said you were unclean. The priest was the one that said that you had to leave the people. You couldn't associate with them. You had to go to a leprosy colony where all the other lepers live, and you could not associate with the people. And any time that anyone came close, you are to cry out the words, unclean. Well, now let me tell you why that God placed this but in this passage of Scripture. He says to Naaman, Naaman, you're a big man, a great man, a powerful man. You have authority. People fear your name. I mean, you're the field marshal of a Syrian army. But I want you to be reminded that because of this, you're still an old sinner and need to be saved by grace. You see, Madonna has all the money and all the power, but she's a leper. Britney Spears has all the money and all the power, but she's a sinner. Michael Jackson, all the money, all the power, all the authority, and everything he has, but still, he's a sinner. I think that what God is wanting to say to us today, we all like sheep have gone astray. Every man hath turned to his own way. And I don't care how powerful you are. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how many cars you have, how many homes you have. I do not care what your status is in this world. You are still a sinner, lost without God, and you need Jesus Christ or either be damned and doomed to a devil's hell. That's what God is saying. Because we all like sheep have gone astray. Every man had turned to his own way. Naaman may have had all the power. Naaman may have had everything that Naaman needed, but Naaman is a leper. He's lost without God. If leprosy is a type of sin, then Naaman, regardless of his power and regardless of his authority, regardless of how mighty he is, he's still a sinner that needs salvation. You see, you can have all, and yet without God, you have nothing. You can have everything this world has to give, and without God, you can have nothing. All of the greatness, all the fame, all the glory, everything vanishes when it comes to God. Because God does not look at us in our greatness and in our might. He looks at us as an old sinner saved by grace. Did you not know that God is so personal with you and I? God wrote a personal letter to us, and Jesus quoted it. Over in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus made it very plain, and this is the words that He said. He said, what good would it do a person if he gained the whole world and then lose his very soul? And then He comes back and said, or, I'm a word person now, or, with a big comma, what would it, a person give in exchange for his soul? You know what he's saying? The soul is more valuable than any possessions of the world.
If I surveyed all His goodness that comes to me from above, and I could count all of the blessings from out the storehouse of His love, I'd simply ask for one favor of Him beyond mortal kin. I'm sure He'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you someday. All of our troubles and our heartaches have truly vanished away. There we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we've been longing to see, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans now, you see. But come the morning of that rapture, together we're gonna stand anew, and then I'll stroll over heaven. I want to stroll over heaven with you someday. All of our troubles, all our heartaches have truly vanished away. There we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
I would like to say that I appreciate all the birthday cards that have been sent to me, and I want you to remember, Martha, this is a year. This month, the last of this month, will make a year. I'll tell you, it's hard to really believe, but nevertheless, it has happened. So let's remember, Martha, though. Let's just keep praying for me and keep helping me on the broadcast. I appreciate it. I hope that we can continue right on going until the Lord calls me home, because my health is good. My eyes are bad. I hope you pray for my eyes. But as long as they stay status quo, I'm doing all right. So you continue to pray for me. I appreciate, again, all the cards, the birthday cards this month has come in. I appreciate your help. I appreciate your support in this broadcast, because without you, it would be impossible for me to go on. So I love you, and I appreciate you. But until the same time next Sunday, may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
I'll have no fear, for I know He walked beside me, and I'm sheltered.
You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Goodbye, be good. May God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God.